In Matthew chapter 1, in verse number 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So there you have the birth of Jesus Christ. But what if Jesus was never born? What if Jesus was never born? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, grateful again to be here in your house, Lord. And I do come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you'll use me here today. I pray you'll give me your words and your guidance and your direction here this afternoon. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to speak in the hearts of those here today. And we'll give you the glory and honor for it. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, apparently, there is an interesting situation in the making in the National Football League right now. Three teams, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Detroit Lions, and the Minnesota Vikings, all three teams have the same records. So all three teams could potentially end the season with the identical record. So what if they do? What if they do? Right now, all three of these teams are 12-2. There's only three games left, and here's what they're playing for. They're playing for the top two seeds. The two number one seeds, the best two teams will get a bye in the first round of the playoffs, meaning they don't have to play. They advance to the next round, and while the other teams have to play. And if they lose, they go home. And if they win, they get to move on and play one of these teams right here. But what if? Right? What if? Quite honestly, I could care less. But what if? Right? What if? Right? The NFL has rules in play that will figure that out. But what if? But I think a lot of times that we live our life saying, what if? We choose where we live. But what if I go here? But what if I do this? But what if this? But what if that? And we spend time pondering our lives on what if, when those what ifs most of the time never come to pass. But let me ask you this. What if Jesus was never born? What if Jesus was never born? What if God never sent His only begotten Son to this earth? Where would we be? Would we be? What would life be like without having Jesus come into this world? Well, let me just tell you right now, praise the Lord, He was born. Praise the Lord, He did come. Praise the Lord, He did die. That's why He came. He came to die on that cross. But praise the Lord, He rose again the third day, victorious from the grave. He did. The birth of Jesus Christ is a fact. It happened, and it happened just like the Bible says it happened, right? The Old Testament prophecies, it happened just like that. It just like God said it would happen. And the birth of Jesus Christ is, like I said this morning, one of the most important events in human history. It is the fulfillment of God's promise to us to send a Savior, to save us from our sins, to give us a home in heaven. Hey, His birth changed the world forever, but what if? What if, right? What if? We're going to think about that today. What if Jesus was never born? Number one, I want you to see here that the prophecies would not have been fulfilled. Right? We looked at one this morning, Isaiah 7:14, that therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. That's one of the signs, one of the prophecies of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ 700 years before it happened. our memory verse is another prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's Jesus Christ. Right, these are prophecies of Jesus Christ. God promised that the Savior would come. He gave signs. He gave the Word. He gave His Word. And He gave the prophets to speak His Word. And the sign was a miraculous sign. It never happened before. A virgin is going to be with child. A virgin is going to conceive. The Messiah would come from a virgin. How could that be? How could that be? A virgin cannot have a baby. Nobody was ever a virgin born before, and no one will ever be virgin born again. Jesus Christ is it. But if Jesus Christ was never born, then the virgin birth would not have been fulfilled. Now, we see a couple of prophecies there in Isaiah, but let's turn over. Oh, you're already there in Matthew. If you look there in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 1. All right, so Matthew, the first gospel, the first book in the New Testament, starts right out, and he gives us the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He says here in verse number 1, he says, "The book of the generations of Jesus Christ," get this, "the son of David, the son of Abraham." Right? The Bible tells us right here that the Messiah will be a son of both. It will become in the lineage, in the line of not only Abraham, but of David as well, and Jesus Christ is the descendant of both. Now, if we were to read through this here in the beginning of Matthew chapter 1 about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you would see, like for instance, in verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac, and then it just goes on with the lineage. So-and-so begat, right? They're having a child, they are born. But you get down here to verse 16, and the things change a little bit. It says here in verse 16, "And Jacob begat Joseph," okay, listen, "the husband of Mary," but get this, "of whom was born Jesus." It doesn't say he begat Jesus. It says, "of whom was born Jesus," who is called the Christ. He's called Christ, right? Jesus was born of Mary, but he wasn't born of Joseph, right? We hit on that this morning. Jesus is not born of man. He is born of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you continue on reading in our text in verse 18, the Bible says there, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together," you see that, "she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." You got to get it. Right, this is the Old Testament prophecy of Jesus coming through the virgin birth, not through Joseph. Joseph is not the father, but of the Holy Ghost. And you keep reading as we did. You come to verse 23. Again, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." Hey, are you picking up on what I'm putting down here today? Are you getting it? Right, the Old Testament prophecies of a virgin, it's played out here in the first book of the New Testament. In the first book of the New Testament, Matthew right here is bringing to light the very fact that those Old Testament prophecies are real in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't an accident. It was God's plan to redeem mankind from before the foundation of the world. You can flip over the Genesis chapter 3, and you see in verse 15 the very first promise that the Messiah is going to come. The very first prophecy is given to us there. But and then all throughout the Old Testament, the prophecies are laid out. Mary was conceived as a virgin, meaning she did not know a man. She has never been with a man, and she was still a virgin when Jesus was born. It's a miracle, right? But that's how God works. That's how God works, right? And if you flip over to Luke chapter 1, in Luke chapter 1, the angel came to Mary, in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 34. The angel came to Mary and gave Mary the promise of what is going to happen. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? It's not possible. Right? Mary's like, How can this be? I know not a man. She is a virgin. She was conceived in the womb as a virgin of the Holy Spirit. And so the angel answers her in verse 35 and says, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You get that? Imagine that. Imagine how Mary must have reacted to this. Right? I'm going to have a baby, not with a man, but from God. And this baby is going to be the Son of God. He's the Savior that for all these years, 700 plus years since Isaiah wrote about it, it's going to come to pass. And it's going to come to pass here through the birth of Jesus Christ. And the birth of Jesus Christ just proves that Jesus is God. Right? It proves that He is God. But if Jesus was never born, these Old Testament prophecies would not have happened. Wouldn't have played out like this. They would have never been fulfilled. Right? The Old Testament prophecies, if you flip over to Micah, if you can flip over to Micah, I'll show you this one here. The Old Testament prophecies show us exactly where Jesus was to be born. Not only that He was born of a virgin, but also in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, He tells us that He's going to be born in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem. Right? In Micah chapter 5, in verse 2 it says, But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, get this, that is ruler, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. You get that? He was never created. He's always been from old to everlasting. This is another great prophecy here of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures in Micah, talking about the birth of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord announced His birth here. It was going to take place in Bethlehem. And we know the story. He came as a lowly servant, born in a manger in Bethlehem because there was no room in the inn. All right, and so if you'll turn back over to Matthew, I'll show you where this one came out in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 3, you see, they knew of the prophecies. Right? They knew of those Old Testament prophecies. They knew of the Scriptures. They were familiar with them. In Matthew chapter 2, starting here in verse number 3, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 3 says, When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Hey, who is this Christ? Where is He to be born? They said He's some king, right? Where is He to be born? In verse 5 it says, And they said unto Him, right there, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You see, the chief priests, the scribes, they knew the prophecies. They knew the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And they quoted this verse here to Herod when he asked them, Where is He going to be born? You see, if Jesus was never born, these prophecies, they're nothing more than a prophecy. But you see, Jesus was born. He did come into this earth. He was born of a virgin. He was born to die. He was born for one reason, and that is to die. But if Jesus was never born, that means He never died on the cross for my sins. You see, the works in Isaiah talk about the cross as well. Isaiah 53, it talks a lot about the cross. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse number 5, the Bible says, But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You see, remember when Jesus was on the cross, you know, and God turned His back, God forsook Him. Why? Because your sin and my sin was put upon Jesus Christ on that cross today. And Jesus says, while He's up there hanging, about to die, He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Right? He has taken all of our iniquities, all of our sins, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of our sins were put upon Him on that cross today. And when He died, He literally died in your and my place. He died in your and my place. And Jesus was born in order that He could die in our place. Hey, if you could flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 14. Paul's hitting on this topic here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse number 14, there he says, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." Verse 16. "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised," get this, "your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." You see, Jesus Christ came. He came to die. He came to die in our place for our sins. But if Jesus Christ was never born, He could not have died on the cross. Every one of us would still be lost on our way to hell, for the wages of sin is still death. Oh, but praise the Lord, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, the Old Testament prophecies are that. They're prophecies, so we would know, so we would be ready, so that we would be looking, right? So we wouldn't miss it. The Savior has come. Look, there are so many Jews out there right now who love God but deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And until they come to Jesus Christ, they're lost and on their way to hell. Jesus came, the Messiah came, the prophecies are true. He died, He came, He died for us so we can get to heaven. But hey, let me give you a second thing here. If Jesus never came, we could never experience the peace of God. Peace, P-E-A-C-E, that peace. Peace. Over in John chapter 16, in verse 33, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Right? That's Jesus speaking there. Jesus is, remember, the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace upon this earth. And He says that in Me you might have peace. Peace only comes through Jesus Christ. Right, peace doesn't come out in this world. And have you noticed this world has no peace? There's no peace out in this world. And people go and they try to find peace in things and stuff. And people will try to find peace in pills, or prescription pills, illegal pills, drugs and alcohol. And they'll try to find peace in all these things. And all they're left with is an empty bottle and no peace and more misery. And more misery, more misery, more misery, and more misery, right? There is no peace, right? Jesus Christ is peace. He came, He died. He is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. The world can only know trials and tribulations. He says that there. In the world you shall have tribulations. That's true. Any of you living life not going through a trial? Any of you lived life and never had a tribulation, a storm, some fiery darts coming at you from the devil? Anybody like that? I don't know. Not me. They're always coming, right? There's always trials. There's always tribulations. There's always storms. But hey, Jesus put the disciples on a boat and told them to go to the other side, knowing that He was going to bring a storm on them. And Jesus waited until they got in the middle of that sea before He sent a storm on them. And all the while, He's up on that mountain watching and praying. Right? He's got them. He's looking at them. He's watching. He's praying. And they're out there and that storm comes and they become what? They get afraid. They get scared. They get afraid and they lose their focus. Right? So that story is a reminder for us when those storms come and those trials come. Get your eyes up on Jesus. Get your eyes up on Jesus, off of the Fox News and off of the internet, off of the things of this world that'll bring you down. Remember, there's tribulations in those. Jesus says there's peace in me. Right? And so what happened? When Jesus came walking onto the water, right, they thought he was a ghost. They were afraid. They didn't know what was going on. They were so tired and worn out. But Jesus, Peter was like, "Lord, is that you?" And Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on the water. You remember that? Walking on the water. All the while he's looking at Jesus until he took his eyes off of Jesus, and then he did what? He began to sing. All I'm saying is Jesus is that peace. Jesus, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, He will provide that peace. Right? He said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Remember, fear comes from the devil. Fear is not of the Lord, it's of the devil. Right? Keep our eyes up. When trials come, tribulations come, we need the peace that's everlasting. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. That's who we need to be reminded of. Man is separated between God because of our sin. Right? Our sin has separated us from God, and we don't have peace with God because of that. And so we need to be reconciled. And Jesus talks about being born again, that reconciliation. When we come to Jesus Christ, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Romans 5:8 it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so praise the Lord that Jesus was not only born, like the Bible says, but praise the Lord that He died. He didn't quit. You get that? He didn't quit. Right? A lot of times in our flesh, when things get hard, what do? We throw in the towel, we quit, we complain, we want to quit. But praise the Lord, Jesus didn't quit. He didn't quit. Right? He asked if there was another way. If there was, Father, take it from me. But there wasn't another way. This was the only way for Jesus to come into this world and to die on that cross. In Romans 5:1, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That is the only way you can have peace. That is the only place you will find peace. You can try it. I was 38 years old, thinking I was good on my own. I could do this and that, and I was good. But I never had peace about anything. Right? When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, man, it's a different kind of peace. It's His peace. It's the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus Christ is that Prince of Peace. So let me give you a third thing here. Hey, if Jesus was never born, then the Savior would not have come. All right? And so if you look here in Matthew chapter 1, if you could turn back to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 17, you see here it says, "So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." Point is this, Jesus came, just like the Bible says. He came. He is the son of David. He is the son of Abraham. He came. And verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." That's Jesus Christ. The one, the Savior, that will save us from our sin. But what if Jesus never did come? Right? There would be no peace. There would be no peace. There would only be emptiness. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's what we were like before salvation. That was my life 38 years before I found the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I got saved, Before I trusted Him for Savior, I was no hope and without God in the world. So every time we come across somebody that is lost, that's them. They're lost. They're without hope. This time of year, there are so many people that we come in contact every day that have no hope, that have no peace. Especially this time, they have no hope. What is there to hope for? Right? Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they're going through things in life. Maybe something. It's something for everybody. Right? What they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. What they need is someone to share Jesus Christ with them. What they need is someone to give them a tract, tell them how they could be saved. Right? That's what they need. The world needs a Savior, and that's why Jesus came. And all you got to do is look around. We don't have to look very hard. Macon's a pretty big city, right? Look around. There are lost people everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's lost people. People with no hope. People suffering from depression. People suffering from discouragement. And that is why Jesus came. That is why Jesus came. There's a story here of a farmer who was trying to teach his son the ways of life on the farm. Right? And so he's trying to teach him why Jesus came and how Jesus came into a world that it was full of dead men. And these dead men didn't know that they are dead. That was, you know, Ephesians chapter 2. But he's trying to teach his son about life on the farm. And so he took his son out to the hen house and he grabbed him a chicken and he said, "Son, your mom wants chicken for dinner, so you know what we have to do." And so with that, he took the chicken and he, you know, chucked the chicken's head off. And the chicken began to flop around on the ground. Well, the little boy's eyes, as you can imagine, got huge and wide, and he was amazed. And he said, "Daddy, look at that. That there chicken is dead and don't even know it." Think about it. That there chicken is dead and he don't even know it. And that's exactly Ephesians chapter 2. That's exactly the lost person. They're dead on the way to hell and they do not even realize that. And Jesus came for that reason only. He came so that dead men could be alive. When He saves a person, He gives them life. You get born again. You're passed from death onto life in John chapter 5 there. There's a change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Hey, you gotta get this. There is power in the gospel message. Okay? There is power in the gospel message. Drunks are made sober. Harlots are made clean. Right? The person is born again, is saved, that there is power in the gospel. That gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. How Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's simple, isn't it? Jesus paid it all. All you got to do is put your faith. Hey, I'm a pretty good person, right? I'm a pretty good person. Hey, I do good. I've never robbed a bank. Hey, I must be on my way to heaven. No, you're dead in sins and trespasses. But wait, God loves me. He sent His Son Jesus. He died on the cross for me. He was buried and He rose again the third day. I believe on Jesus Christ. Lord, save me, right? Turn, repent. Turn from what I'm trusting in. I'm not trusting in me being a good person anymore because that's leading me to hell. I'm turning to Jesus Christ. That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of Jesus Christ. And that is the power of why He came. He says in Isaiah 43:11, He says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There's nobody else. What is it you're trusting in? One day we all die. One day could be today, could be tomorrow, but we all die. We take our last breath. And the Bible says, and as it is appointed on the man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We all die, and it's heaven or hell. Where is it going to be for you? Now, Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He came, He died, He gives eternal life to all who freely come. In John chapter 3, verse 36, He says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God," get it, "the wrath of God abideth on him." Does that sound like fun? The wrath of God? The rich man in Luke chapter 16, "And in hell he lifts up his eyes, being in torment." Right? That's a part of the wrath of God, but we can't fully grasp it because we've never seen it. Right? It's too late. If you wake up in hell like that rich man, it's too late to do anything about it to get out of it, because you can't. You can't escape. Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. He went to die on that cross. He rose again the third day. And it's as simple as that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it is you're trusting on, and believe on Him. Let me give you a fourth thing here, last thing here. If Jesus had never been born, we could never have our sins forgiven. But praise God, He did come. And we can have our sins forgiven. In 1 John chapter 1, if you could flip over there. In 1 John chapter 1, look there, starting in verse number 7. In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." In verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That word "all," if you notice, it's spelled A-L-L. That means all, not leaving anything behind. All, A-L-L, means all. Every single one of them. All of our sins forgiven. All of them. Every single one. But hey, if you are deceived if you deny that you've sinned. I know a man who's 93 years old, and we've been witnessing to him for years, and they cannot get past the first point there. He says he's never sinned. He's 93 years old, and he says he's never sinned. Never. Can't believe it. You talk to him, he says, "No, I've never sinned." You try to go any further, "I've never sinned. I've always done good." Right? It's sad. It's sad to get that somebody could think that they've been so deceived. Right? The Bible says they've been so deceived. You see, the Bible says it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, praise the Lord. He shed His blood for us, for the remission of sins. And He came and died, and so we can have forgiveness of our sins and no more guilt. Hey, did any of you carry that sin guilt around? Do any of you suffer from that guilt of sin? Right? Hey, we've got to leave it at the feet of Jesus. If you've been born again, if you've been saved, hey, the blood of Jesus Christ has already covered that. It's already cleansed it. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Why would you want to pick it back up? Don't pick it back up. Get victory over it. Give it to Jesus. Right? He's already taken care of it. And the Bible says in Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." The interesting thing with the east and the west there is they never touch. Right? If you start out here and you drive north, you can drive north and go over the North Pole, and eventually you'll be traveling south. But if you start out here, and if you could drive east all the way around the world, you would always be driving east. The east and the west will never touch, and you can go all the way around the earth, and you're always traveling east. That's as far, He says, as our sins are separated from us. As far as the east is from the west. They never come. They never touch. In Isaiah 43:25, He says, "I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake." He says, "I blotted them out, not for you, but for Him." And He says, "I will not remember thy sins." You get that? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. It covers it. He doesn't remember them anymore, doesn't bring them up anymore. And so if you're suffering from the effects of sin or the guilt of sin, it's got to be the devil bringing it up. It's got to be the devil tempting you. God's not going to tempt you with those sins that have already been covered, already been forsaken, already under the blood. All I'm saying is, hey, get victory over that today. Give it to the Lord. Confess it. Forsake it. I'm just so glad we don't have to what if. I'm so glad we don't have to what if about Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus did come. He was born. He died for our sins. He rose victoriously from the grave, and He will freely give eternal life to all who believe. All you have to do is come to Jesus. He gives us a reason to live, a reason to remember the real reason for the season is Jesus Christ. So as I conclude here today, hey, don't you want to live for Jesus? For all that He's done for you, don't you want to live for Jesus? Hey, don't you just want to be like Paul in 2 Timothy and finish the course? Right, whatever the course that the Lord has for you, we all have a different course, but He has you on the course. He has a purpose for you. There's things that He wants you to do. If you're still alive, you're still in the race. You're still in the Christian race, as Paul is referring to. And Paul says right before he dies, right before he's about to be martyred and put to death, he says, hey, I've kept the faith, right? I finished the course. I didn't quit, right? Don't quit. Don't you want to not quit for the Lord? For all that He's done for us. For all that He's done for us. Hey, what will you give Jesus this Christmas? Have you thought of that? It's Christmas. We give everything and give things away. But what will you give Jesus this Christmas? Hey, will you give Him your faith? Hey, if you've never been born again, will you give Him your faith? For by grace are you saved through faith. Will you give Him your faith if you've never been born again? But if you have been born again, hey, will you give Him your heart? Do you love Jesus? Remember, He says, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. Right? If you love Me, keep My commandments. So will you give Jesus your all this Christmas? Will you give Him your heart? Will you give Him your faith? Will you give Him your time? Will we give Him our time? Will we give Him our time? So I'm just glad we don't have to what if. Oh, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Bible proclaims, the Old Testament Scriptures proclaim the prophecies of the coming Savior. They're laid out here in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. And they're laid out throughout all of the Scriptures of how the Savior came, the Lord Jesus Christ came, and He came for you and I. That's the reason for the season. Remember that this Christmas. What will you give to Jesus this Christmas? Let's pray.